Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Just to let you know, my stock exchange information comes from that Eddie Murphy film where they swap places.
I think I've had more rosé than I realised.
God, I've lost my identity.
That's like the first practical joke that's got me for a long time. That's amazing.
I feel like I'm joining a cult.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are entering our, third decade of UK lockdown, something like that. But guys, it's lifting. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and I couldn't be more excited to introduce our guest for this episode. She is a baker. She is a TV presenter. She's a 2018 Great British Bake Off semi-finalist. It's Bryony Williams.
Hi.
It is so cool to have you here. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so fangirling to be here. I love this podcast so much, and I'm so excited.
Oh, thank you. We're so thrilled to have you on, honestly. Let's not start by gushing, but you honestly are one of my favorite ever Bake Off contestants, and I have seen every season. I love it so much. It is at the core of my mental health strategy, that show.
I think it's for a lot of people.
Season. Oh, it was great. And it's great to meet you.
I appreciate that.
Not at all. Now, in a very awkward segue, we always start with this question.
Who doesn't love an awkward segue?
Abrupt change of tone. We always ask the question, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Right. Yes. Yes, I have, actually. I was 17. And I was doing my AS levels, and I was stood on the bus stop opposite my school having a fag. Terrible. I was head girl as well. Isn't that terrible?
Nice.
I know, right? and having a fag. And well, this is my punishment for that. And I had two bags with me. I had my handbag and I had a bag of my AS revision notes. And this guy came past on a bike, lunged over, grabbed my handbag.
Oh.
I, of course, protected the AS revision notes because I was like, I can't lose these. I had my mobile in my hand, some Nokia 5330 or something like that.
Yeah.
And he grabbed my handbag, jumped back on his bike and rode off. But this other guy had seen it from his car and tried to run him over.
Oh my god.
Whoa. So this guy like swerved to try and knock him off his bike. I just kind of stood there like phone in one hand, bag in the other like, oh, what's going on? And he kind of knocked him a little bit, but he managed to get away. So off he went with my little handbag. And this guy got out of the car and he was like, are you all right? And I was crying, you know, sobbing my eyes out. Don't know if you saw when I was in the tent, but I am a bit of a crier. And
I was hoping maybe you'd cry tonight.
I'm like, you never know. I've even seen how it goes. Push me enough and I'll go. And I was crying and I was calling my mum on my phone and he was like, you should probably call the police. I was like, no, I need my mum. I need to talk to my mum.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
So I called my mum, bless her, and she came down. But I was just most happy that I'd saved the AS revision notes because I was doing a Latin AS. I mean, that's been obviously been really
useful.
Think
that is Latin, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was like, can you imagine if he'd stolen that bag and kind of got to the end of wherever he was going and going, yes, what have I got? Oh, some Latin grammar. Awesome. That's my crime. But I never thanked the man who tried to run him over for me.
So this part of the story, I mean, it's an amazing scene in my head anyway, because, you know, anyone that's on a moving vehicle, even if it's just a bike, the dexterity it takes to like reach over and steal something.
Right.
And then your quick reaction, like, which of these things is replaceable? I can get more money, but I cannot get more notes. But this guy that tried to mow him down.
I know. I thought, what, you know, who says chivalry's dead? You know, I mean,
right?
He tried to run someone over for me, which I just thought was very nice.
I love the idea that you would have made the call to the cops with the driver there and like, I'd like to report a hit and run.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to report a crime. It's not the one he's thinking. But yeah, the bag was never found with whatever rubbish it had in it. Like probably £5 note and a packet of Richmond menthols and that's about it, really. That's all he got. But like, you know, there's people who've been through a lot worse. But yeah, it was just really just not very nice.
Mm.
I'll tell you what, I did not smoke on that bus stop again.
Yeah.
That was the last time I did that.
Oh, yeah, that would ruin that as your little lineup.
My little stop
spot.
To go. Yeah, exactly. Mm-mm, no more. Oh. I think I I sacked off revising for the rest of the afternoon and went to the pub with my friend.
Good job.
Because I was just so traumatized. I need to go to the pub. I couldn't possibly do any more Latin revision this afternoon.
Did you leave the Latin revision in the pub?
Yeah.
That would be the perfect end to this story.
That would be
story.
Great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, and then there's the alternate universe where like he did take the Latin and then you have the quick montage of him like bettering himself and just becoming a better man. And then you meet 20 years down the line and he just hands it back to you and says, thank you.
Like, thank you. I got into medical school because of your Latin homework.
I keep wanting to make like jokes like I would say thank you in Latin. I don't know any Latin. It's really annoying.
I did an AS. I did an A-level in Latin and I don't know any Latin either. Literally, the only Latin I can remember is from year 8. Caecilius est in horto. Caecilius is in the garden. Why can't I remember anything from that point?
No.
That's like, all I know.
That must come in handy when you travel.
All the time, yeah. When I want to converse with all those people in Latin. Where's Caecilius? He's in the horto.
I don't know. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's Veni, Vini, Vici, which is in wine, there is truth, which is appropriate for this
that's
podcast.
That's nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I just got one. Carpe Diem.
Oh, it's a classic. It's a classic.
And I learned that's it from The Simpsons.
I learned that from a fridge magnet.
From a fridge magnet.
It wasn't Dead Poets Society.
That gets around that phrase.
Wow. I mean, I know they didn't coin it, but... that's just where I thought everybody learned it. I love that you did Simpsons instead.
I can't stop thinking about the guy that just thought, I'm just going to knock this guy off his bike.
Vigilante guy.
Yeah, he was like, because it was literally a split second, he must have decided, well, I'll just try and run him over.
Yeah, right. That's his gut going, I know, I'm a hero.
Yeah.
Also, I kind of want to kill people, but I'm a hero. Yeah.
If I do it in this context, I look all right.
This is a legitimate outlet for my rage.
My God. Yeah, it's like Dexter.
I live in fear of like finding out who I really am in situations like that, because I'm like, oh no, I definitely, I remember like, what was it, before lockdown, me and my friend Tasha, we were at Soho Theatre and like we were just in one of the booths there, and suddenly like this whole bomb warning thing went off because it was at a time when they were doing loads of work in Soho. Oh. And they were finding loads of like World War II bombs.
Oh God.
And I sort of like got up to leave, and I was like, as I walked out, I was walking quite far ahead of Tasha, and I just felt really bad. And I was like, oh no, I have to make sure in this situation that I make sure my friends are safe as well. But I think I just
pushing it down to make sure you get out first.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the last thing you want, isn't it? To like die from a bomb from a war that ended 70 years ago. Like, that's
what
just
a way to go.
To be fair. Yeah.
They're not even going to make it.
The Germans did win.
Yeah. They took Hannah John.
Bryony, one of the ways that we always round out this section is to ask, if you had the perpetrator here in front of you, you could have a chat with him, you can do anything you want, say anything you want, what would you do?
Run him down with my car.
Yeah, you would.
Nice.
I know you wouldn't. But I liked you saying it because you're Bryony for pickup.
And then they cut out the bit where she says that she wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I don't know, I might. Depends what kind of mood I'm in, you know? I don't know. Maybe say, would you rather have had the Latin notes? Because I'm not sure how far my fiver and packet of 10 fags would have got you.
Yeah.
Maybe the Latin, like we said, he could have become a doctor. He could have become a lawyer. I mean, you know, the possibilities are endless. So does he regret going for that bag rather than the other one?
Yes. Yeah. Did you find it weird as well when people like steal things? Because if you're outside your school, presumably in a school uniform, like, I don't know about you, but I was about 17, were you in a school uniform?
I was in my own clothes because I was in sixth form.
Right. Because I just don't understand people that steal things from young people because...
Oh, that's horrible.
Like, young people don't have any money. Like, but that's the thing. It's just on a sort of logical basis. It's kind of like, if you're going to steal a purse... Don't steal it with somebody that's going to have like a sort of like a bottle of Impulse and some chapstick and maybe a bit of pocket money.
Yeah. I would love to know if he actually got hurt by the car kind of bumping him. How bad was it? He might have had a little bruise or.
Oh, yeah. I hope he did. Maybe he looked at that bruise and thought, probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that's his karma.
Yeah. Karma.
Hey.
Now it's time. Drunk women solving crime.
On that note,
another awkward segue.
Awkward, you mean awesome. Okay, this is the section where we talk about true crime, but I'm gonna shake it up only a tiny bit today, guys, and I'll tell you why. It's because it's April Fool's Day.
Yes, it is
the holiest day.
When it comes out, it will be 3 weeks or 4 weeks after April Fool's Day.
It doesn't matter. It's about our experience right now.
Do you know what? I had this fear earlier on that you were having me on and that I wasn't actually going to be a guest on the podcast. And then I'd like log onto the Zoom and I'd just be there for an hour waiting. And then I get a message being like, April Fool's. No, we don't want to talk to you.
Wow.
Could you imagine?
I
went a bit dark.
Press.
That would have been really mean, wouldn't it?
I can't imagine that. I will put it out here now. Not a fan of April Fool's Day, but this is my way of taking back the night and doing what nerds do. We're going to deconstruct it a little
bit. Happened on my April Fool's Day this morning?
What?
Go on. I was wiping my 3-year-old's ass.
Yeah.
And my 6-year-old jumped out on us and shouted boo, and we both screamed, and then the 3-year-old cried.
I think if you're going to shit yourself, the best way to do it is like when someone's already wiping your ass, though, right? Like,
oh, brilliant.
That's not April Fool's.
I know. And then because he was so upset, she was then upset anyway. And then we're like, I had to like classic comfort her because her joke went too far. Anyway.
Oh.
Hey, listeners, remember this. April Fool's Day a month ago? Wasn't it fun?
Well, I found out that it's also called All Fool's Day.
Cool.
Had you ever heard that? Fool's Day, which it really does make it sound like a religious holiday when you put it like, do you observe All Fool's Day? So rather than do one crime, I've got a bunch of teeny little crimes that I would like you to put on your best prankster hats to try to think through the question. So we're still gonna be solving crime just with a little bit of a theme. Because guys, pranks and crimes go together like salt and caramel. You know what I mean? And I'm also gonna make everything about food because Brian is here.
So. I am totally okay with that.
We're having a buffet today rather than
Buffet, yeah.
It's tasty. Always all about food with me anyway, but now I'm like, justification. My first question, it's a two-parter, guys. It's just, how do we feel about pranks and have you ever pranked anyone?
I mean, I don't love them, but I don't know. I don't know if I've ever actually, I don't think I've ever necessarily pranked anyone or had a massive prank done on me that I can remember unless I blocked it out of my memory.
The best prank I ever did was when I was about 10 or 11. And I was in music class and my friend that sat next to me, Robert, was messing around and the teacher made him stand up to tell him off. And I moved his stool back so that when he sat down, he fell on the floor.
Love it.
That's
classic. That is a classic.
That was my best one ever.
I did do something in primary school that reminds me. It's kind of, I suppose, kind of a prank, kind of a joke, where my friend, who is still my best friend to this day, when we were about six, asked me how I lost my fingers. And I told her that it was because the teacher told me off and told me to sit on my hands. And that when I pulled my hand out, my fingers fell off. And the next time the teacher was like, sit on your hands, Charlotte, she was like, no, I can't. They'll fall off. I was like,
what? Wow.
Oh, you legend.
That's amazing.
Awesome. She still won't let me forget it. Even to this day, like 30 years later, she's like, do you remember when you did that to me? I'm like, yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, I love that you still know each other.
Yeah, we're still besties. But yeah, I just thought it was so funny.
That's a good prank.
That's a great prank. I'm trying to think of... So I hate pranks. I just hate them. I just think they're... Like, there's enough things to laugh at to have a nice comedy in the world where somebody isn't very much the butt of the joke. I hate it. It just makes someone look stupid. And like, oh... I cannot stand them. I always remember this woman that I used to work with called Sue. One of the first things she said to me, she was like, she just came up to me, like sidled up to me, you know, like women that can properly sidle. Yeah. And she just went, as an introduction, she just went, I'm a bit of a wind up. And then she proceeded to tell me how she'd like got this, she'd done all sorts of shit winding everyone up. I didn't think anyone really hated her, actually, because she very much wore it on her sleeve.
Right.
But she was just like, I'm going to pretend to pass out when he comes in. Wait. And then she just did it. And I was just like, what am I going to do? Because I don't like pranks and I can't go along with it. And
Sue.
The bloke came back into the room.
Sounds like she has more problems than just being a wind-up.
Yeah. When pranking becomes your personality, it's time to step back.
Yeah, and, she was so excited that it was a new person.
To be like also dragging in unwilling accomplices that then have to make a decision on the spot about what they're going to do in their new job.
Yeah, I'm going to pass that go.
literally. It was so funny.
Bless
and she just
you.
Told me these things that she'd done and they were so awful, like to the point where I was like, one where somebody had visited her work and some woman like quite liked the guy and then she just started texting the woman as the guy, pretending she was this guy that had visited work.
Oh,
and she was like, did it for about 6 months. And I was like, fucking hell, Sue.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sounds a bit evil.
Yeah. I mean...
So, I don't know how old she was, but now I'm picturing...
We need to prank her.
Yeah.
Yeah, look her up. Let's see what she's doing. I was picturing her as just a fucking nightmare in the old folks' home, like still doing it. And everyone's like...
Hiding everyone's teeth.
Yeah. She was probably in her 60s when I knew her. So 50s or 60s.
Oh, God, just pissing herself for the fun of it. Like, got you.
Watch this.
You got to clean this up now.
Yeah. Guess who's not incontinent?
Yeah.
Joke's on you.
I generally hate pranks as well. Like, that's my first response. I hate April Fool's Day. But I think it's a really interesting topic. And it's actually like, I hate pranks like Sue pranks, but there's such a range of what a prank means. And this is where I like to nerd out on this topic a little bit. But I mean, one of the main theories about like, why do people prank? Because it's almost a universal thing. Like every culture pranks, people have been doing it for hundreds of years, you know, trying to fool somebody, pull a fast one. And the idea is that it sort of tempers success or status with a bit of humility. That's why I hate them, because every time I've had it done, I'm like, I am already humble. I have more humility than I need. Like, don't make me piss my pants.
Yeah,
so that I feel like more of a dickhead.
It's like the purge for like self-esteem. It's like, no, every day is a terrible day for me.
The purge for self-esteem is great.
Honestly, like try to file a motion. That's not what it's called, but you know what I mean. Like change.org to change April Fool's Day to the purge of self-esteem or something else. I want that to be the thing.
I would definitely back that.
I have pranked people though. And this.
Oh, you don't like it, but you do it to other people.
Wow, okay. Taylor.
I would never do this now, but in high school I did a couple things and this made me remember it. Again, everything's about food today. We had this couch in our high school lounge. It was like a piece of shit. It was fake leather. It had huge slashes in it. So the filling was just coming out. And the filling, the stuffing, looked exactly like angel food cake. I mean, like, it even had the brown crust and then that, like, white soft bit. So I pulled a chunk out and tried to make it look as, like, triangle as possible. And I put it on a plate and I wrote a sign that said free cake.
Oh, Taylor.
Oh, wow. I know. And I put it on the front desk and just sat to the side, like, to see if anyone, because honestly, I just didn't think anyone would engage with it. I thought immediately they'd be like, that's the filling from the couch. And a couple people did, but they'd laugh and move on. And one girl put a little piece of it in her mouth. And then I felt really bad.
And then she died.
And then she's dead now.
But also, if anyone's going to trust a sign that says free cake, I mean...
This is how nice my school was, though. Like, people would bake all the time and just put, like, have an extra cupcake. So it was a really douchebag thing suspicious. For me to do. I'm Sue.
Do you know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to say that, this is the prank, this version of that prank that I would be behind would be you sat on the couch. You pull out... a bit of the sponge, but you've put a cake in there. So you pull it out and you start noshing on it.
Yeah, go, this is
and
delicious.
And then that prank's okay because you're the butt of it.
Yes.
And a bit of a legend. It's like she eats sofas. It would get around school immediately.
We just get to the core of what makes good comedy, which is, are you punching up or are you punching down? And as long as you're punching at yourself, it's okay. So now I would eat that. I would eat the real filling just to atone for my pranks. And right. Now, it will come as no shock that police and detectives really like to prank each other. And there are pranks that are just recorded in history that go back like hundreds of years. It's ridiculous. So our first prank crime takes us back to 1920 to a police department in San Francisco. They receive a frantic phone call on April 1st saying that there was a riot in progress at 1448 Bush Street. And for God's sake, send the wagons immediately. So they dispatch all their wagons. My question to you is, thinking like a prankster, what do you think was at 1448 Bush Street?
Some hedges?
So they said it's a riot.
Yeah, it was a riot call. What did you say, Katie? Hedges?
Yeah, because it's
Bush Street.
I went literal.
I didn't get that at all. I was like, there could be hedges. Yes, yes.
Yes, good.
Get it?
Oh, what could there be? Bush Street.
Well, now I'm so filthy. Right. I was like, naked ladies.
Well, yeah, I did go there. Right? I was like, beavers? No. What are those wigs called for your foofies?
Oh, Merkin.
Merkins, yes.
Probably. I heard that somewhere. What?
Oh, my God. Yes.
You answered that really quickly, Hannah.
I almost said mirin, which is a Japanese condiment. I really screwed that up. Don't get those mixed
up. Hannah had you covered. She was like that. Merkin. I don't know. I'm going to go Merkin shop.
Okay. I wish it was. And actually, in San Francisco, very good guess. I'm going to tell you.
Tell us.
It was another police station.
Oh.
That's a
so
good
they
prank.
Did not know that this address was another police station. And I think this is quite funny. So they rock up with their sirens blazing and they're like, hey. And then all the police from the other station just came out laughing because they had done it.
Oh, that's less funny that they did it.
They did it. Yeah. Yeah, they did it. It's nice when you have time for fun on the job.
Isn't
when
it?
You're a police officer.
Never mind all that police work. Let's just waste.
No. Now, this is a bit strange. The exact same day, same year, 1920, April 1st, someone called Amos McKean of Oakland, California, was on his way home from work when he discovered that someone had replaced his front motorcycle tire with something else. Question, what do you think that something else was?
A pumpkin.
Very good guess. Good imagery.
I'm inspired by Cinderella there.
I like that.
Fruitcake.
It's the food theme. Yay, you're coming with me.
Kate's had some really tough fruitcake in her time. It's like tasted like a tire.
I will give you a hint. It's a wheel, but from something else.
Oh, like a hamster cage.
On a, yeah, like think along what would look funny on a motorcycle on the front.
A kid's bike?
Close. Sorry, that's close. I said that into my mug. Close.
Sorry, it's such a big one, the Sports Direct one. It gave you quite a good...
Sounded like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had to stop doing meetings with this one, and I have another mug that's bigger than this that says Big Love, and it looks even bigger on screen. So I just look like I was lifting a bucket to my face.
Did
and
you do like little tricks where you pretended like you were going in? If a Zoom meeting got particularly boring. Oh, I'm in. So I think I've had more rosé than I realized.
I
know.
No, I love it.
Oh, I don't know. An orange.
I love these guesses. Sorry. These are hard questions, I'm realizing. I'm like, this will be such a bit of fun to guess the prank. They put a wheel from a baby carriage on the front of his motorcycle. But the kicker is, Amos immediately suspects this is William from work. I know this is William from work because he must have been like a Sue, like sidled up.
Yeah,
he was the jokester.
He's like,
so what
Sue.
Do you think he does in return? What would be your like-to-like revenge?
Kills him.
No. He doesn't kill him.
Too much? Sorry, I've listened too many podcasts.
No, not at all, not at all.
Pushed him off a bridge. No.
But also, it depends. Is this like the umpteenth? Is this the first prank or like the straw that breaks the camel's back and it's like, ooh, that's it, Sue? Like, so I'm just
that's
using Sue,
really...
even though it's William from work.
That's a really good question. Was this kind of a pattern?
It doesn't feel like the first prank someone's done. Someone doesn't just rock up with a fucking toolbox.
That's not your opening gambit, is it?
No. And also, like, I just want to, like, I don't know, did he replace his baby, like his pram, with like the wheels from the motorcycle?
Can't go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love that. That's what he should have done, is put a full-size tire on his baby's pram if he had a baby. That would be amazing.
That would have been amazing.
Well, what he does in return is his friend William had a car, so he decided to remove the generator, which is now what an alternator would be. So, you know, the thing that's...
I don't know what either of those things are.
Also, can I just say now, men, get therapy. Don't do this. Don't take alternators out of each other's cars. Just talk to someone about your problems.
Yes.
Well, what happens is, and this is almost at the heart of like why pranking is bad, is he's caught in the act and tries to explain it away. And they're like, no, buddy, you're taking this generator of this guy's car. And it turns out it wasn't even his colleague who had done the prank. They never found out who did it. He doesn't do any jail time for it, but he has to like go in front of the judge and explain what had happened. And he's like, I swear my prank days are gone.
That's mad. Are there loads of crimes committed on April 1st? Because everyone's like, then, I'll just say it. It's like, it's a fun prank. It's like, no, my mate works at this bank. That's why I'm stealing all this money.
Dave's like, going to find this hilarious. You're going to be so embarrassed when he hears you've arrested me.
There are so many crimes committed, either accidentally or it's used as an alibi. Yeah, so that's why it was like, well, I'm not going to just try to do... there wasn't any one where it's like there's loads of detail on this one and so we can unravel it. It's just like, holy shit, like these first three are literally all April 1st, 1920. They're all wow. on the same day. I don't know why 1920 was such a like, let's prank. Woohoo. Let's swing and prank.
People were so excited to get over the Spanish flu. This is what's going to happen next year for us.
Oh my God.
It's going to be a prank spike.
Post-pandemic pranking.
Keep hold of your prams, people.
Yes. Yeah. Don't leave anything outside.
No.
So same day, a crime is going down in Brooklyn at the home of one Mr. Matthew Cohen, who, after hearing a sound from his closet, goes to investigate. What do you think is inside the closet?
Is it Sue?
It's Sue. It's Sue from work.
Gotcha.
I'm going to play dead. Give me a second.
Oh, I love Sue.
A bear.
Ooh, I like that guess.
Yeah, that's
And
good.
It's feasible in the US because they really are fucking everywhere. Bears are everywhere. They are.
I was watching a video on the internet the other day where a bear was in someone's hot tub.
Yikes.
Literally.
Oh my God. Do you mean like
in
a gay man? Or?
Oh. No, sorry. No, like a grizzly bear.
Wow.
Just a big hairy man.
Filled with water.
Filled with water on. They'd obviously gone inside, come back out, and there was a bear
was
chilling.
Was the bear enjoying it?
He was having a great time. He was there for quite a while.
I'm glad the bear was happy.
They were like, what do we do? There's a bear in a hot tub.
So sweet.
I think maybe that's why I went bear in the closet. Maybe that's too much.
My brother and sister-in-law had a bear. It was a mama bear and she had little cubs and they were adorable, but like they were everywhere and like you don't want to fuck with a mama bear.
No.
So I was really scared, but I was also a smoker at the time. So I would like go out and it almost became a joke. It's like, ha ha ha. And then one time, oh my gosh, I remember like the drag of the cigarette and I just heard crunch. And this thing, it was the mother, was enormous. And I cannot express how close she was to me all of a sudden. Like, it's like she came out of nowhere in the woods. Like they lived in the woods. It was the middle of nowhere. And I was just like, and my brother telling the story is the best because all he saw was in the kitchen, me come in still holding the cigarette. And he's like, why are you? But he could see how scared I was. Like, why do you have the cigarette in the house? And apparently, I don't even remember. Apparently, I just went, bear. So I am cool in a crisis.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Was the cigarette worth it? That's the big question.
I'm pretty sure I finished it in the kitchen.
Yeah, well,
I think he
good
let
job.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh,
he
my
needed
gosh.
It then.
Yeah.
Ooh. So any other ideas? What's in this closet?
Or a chicken. A bear or a chicken.
A bear or a chicken.
I like the animals, Ruth. What do you reckon, Hannah?
Yeah, I was going to say, I like that instinct that it's an animal. Part of me thought it could be like, is it, for example, his wife who's a bit of a wind-up and does he end up having a heart attack because she's scared him by jumping out of the closet?
Oh, that's a good
that's
guess.
That's a good one.
Could yeah. be something quite dark like
and
that.
And is his wife called Sue?
I'm assuming.
What
it
if
makes
that's
sense.
Sue's origin story? Like, that's this dark superhero tale of Sue, that's actually how it all got started. Now she's just reenacting her trauma. Like, she's in a loop and she can't get out of it. Anyway. Katie, what's in the closet?
So it's making a noise. He comes home, it's making this banging inside it.
Yeah.
It's a ghost skeleton.
A ghost skeleton?
Yeah.
Or it could be R. Kelly. Has anyone ever heard R. Kelly's in the closet?
Yeah.
That would be Richard? Terrifying for several reasons.
For several reasons. It was actually a man called William Needham, who was holding some of Mr. and Mrs. Cohen's belongings. Specifically, he had two diamond rings in one hand.
The last
and 12
one was William. A different guy, though.
Different guy. There's so many pranky Williams in 1920. But 1920, these cases, there's only four male names, I swear. Like, it's always Michael, William, and
John.
The other two. John, Paul. Wait, are those the Beatles? No. So, and he has $1,200 worth of Liberty bonds in the other hand. So my question is, what does he say to Mr. Cohen when he opens the door?
April Fool.
He does say April Fools.
Really?
he not only says April Fool's, but, and it's weird because we keep talking about smoking, which is making me want to start it again. He goes, April Fool's, would you like a cigarette? It doesn't work. He's arrested and does time for the crime, but nice try. Sometimes April Fool's does work as an alibi, though. So let us travel back another 5 years to April 1st, 1915. We're still in New York, and someone called Tony Maloney is arrested after being
found. Is that a real name?
Tony Maloney.
That's awesome.
Being found boldly parading around the city. Question, what is the reason for the arrest?
So he's boldly
parading around the city. What would the crime be?
Tony Maloney has got some cojones.
Yeah.
If he's naked.
Yeah, he's naked.
So naked, super good guess.
Parading.
Yeah.
Parading around New York City.
It's just like the first New York Pride and it didn't go down well.
Yeah, just
that's
one
a good
guy.
Guess too.
Yeah. Like the first
and one. And I wouldn't say you're a million miles off, actually.
Oh, so is it like a kind of political thing, perhaps? Was he protesting, like, maybe?
Protesting the First World War.
Well, what's interesting is we don't know the backstory enough of it. And so I think there's room for speculation on it. What it is Tony Maloney, good catch on this, Bryony, not a real name. It was actually a woman called Babe Webster who was charged with what was a crime then, which was masquerading in male attire.
Oh.
Now, she told the judge that it was just an April Fool's Day joke. And actually, the judge does let her go, but on one condition. What do you think that condition was?
She has to have dinner with him.
Oh, so plausible.
Yeah.
Gross and plausible.
But dressed as Tony.
Yeah. Oh, hey, there's a twist.
That's the twist. There's yeah. A twist. Which I don't know why I think that's not as bad.
No. That she has to give him the clothes she was wearing.
No, yeah. Fair question.
She was very well dressed, so the judge thought, yeah, it's like,
I want that bow tie.
What those slacks are rather nice.
What size is that blazer?
Drunk women solving crime.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I guess maybe it's just that she never dresses as a man again.
That would make more sense, but it's almost as creepy, I think, as asking her to dinner. He says, okay, you can do it, but you have to come back tomorrow dressed in feminine clothes.
Oh.
So she was made to dress as a woman and go back to court just to show that she had some clothes, I guess.
He wanted to see what her body looked like when it wasn't in a blazer.
Judges have such a sense of humor themselves, don't they? Just a bit of fun.
Real now, gallows humor, literally.
This one, a bit of evidence to deconstruct. So on this, again, exact same day. I don't know why these are like all on the same day. You know, my research is pretty tight. It was April 1st, 1915, and a fatal shooting occurs in Evansville, Indiana. A Mr. James Pooley, who was a bartender, pulls out a gun from behind the bar and he shoots someone called Frank Stein, who was a saloon porter. He claims his defense was he was just playing an April Fool's Day prank and he thought that the gun was unloaded. So my question is, was he lying and how do we know?
I'm going to say yes, he was lying.
Okay.
And maybe somebody saw him load it. What do you
mean? Okay, a witness.
A witness.
To him loading. That's good. Very good guess. Detective Bryony. I've been wanting to sing that. I thought I'd wait for the right moment. Detective Bryony.
But no, that's, I think they're good instincts. Also, like, is there something if, you know, had he threatened this guy before, said like the night before, I'm going to kill you or something. And then.
Oh, that's good too. Mm. Yeah. Very good thinking.
I don't know how it could go the other way though. Like, how can you prove that you thought it,
maybe the gun got swapped and you really thought it was the empty one and there's some kind of proof that it was not the toy gun you thought it was. Katie, ding, 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 you solved it.
Oh, wow.
It was literally that. So there was no history. They were good friends. They'd worked together a long time. There was no history of animosity.
Oh, shit.
At all, in just a really shitty moment of this will be funny. The bar had just forever kept this unloaded old gun behind there for a bit of fun. I don't know. The sort of outcome is a bit like, but the owner of the bar testified that he had decided to swap the guns and put a loaded one behind the bar, but hadn't told them about this. He just reached for it in a prank.
Horrible.
I know, it's crazy. Wow. Mr. Pooley is found innocent based on that testimony. I still think something was up though. Why wouldn't he tell them that he had swapped the guns?
Maybe he wanted that guy. But then why would he know that guy was going to be a buffoon with a gun?
Yeah, no, but there's something very fishy about it.
Mm. Oh, it's interesting because last episode we referred back to Shaun of the Dead and the Winchester gun that was above. Yeah,
it's connected. Yeah.
Because with that, like, there is the gun. Because I was going to be like, oh, that's very American to have like a gun above a bar kind of thing. Mm. But actually, obviously, in Shaun of the Dead, which is a documentary, but they had like the bullets for it, for example, like the cases were in the pub, right? Mm-hmm. And I kind of think that that's quite an odd thing of having. And I know obviously it's just a film. But do you think the guy did it because he was like, oh, we can use it for protection, but I'm only using it to protect myself? Like, why did he think I'm going
to
put a load
of
guns?
He wanted to prove Chekhov's gun is a good theory.
That's become such a running theme in our episodes. I love it. And I think I learned about Chekhov from The Simpsons. So we've come full circle. Right. So our last two crime pranks, cranks in Chicago, 1931, a newspaper ran a fake article for April Fool's Day declaring that someone was running for mayor as a dry candidate. Who do you think that might have been?
Prohibition didn't end until 1933, so
I'll believe you.
Wouldn't everyone have been a dry candidate in 1931?
Not everybody believed in it.
So if it's funny, it has to be somebody who's like a notorious drunk.
Yeah, or who's very involved in the other side, who would be a very unlikely candidate for mayor at that time.
Oh, Al Capone?
Al Capone!
Hey! I had nothing then, guys. So glad you said I had absolutely nothing to contribute to that.
We contribute just by breathing, Brian. This is female workplace.
That would be like quite a good Alco Pop and Al Capone. Like, I don't know what it is. It's, but yeah. Oh God, I love that. I love the kind of like, because if he's Al Capone, like Al Caponing around the place and newspapers like, I know it'll be funny.
I know.
It feels weird.
Like, what? The cheek.
Taking their life in their hands, surely.
Yeah.
Or they were in with him. Like, I can totally picture a journalist being like a friend of Capone. He's like, I'm going to do something hilarious. I don't know. Because I know, but I thought of that too. I was like, you'd get killed, right? Sorry,
but it
Hannah.
Feels a bit like if you're supposed to be, yeah, making it look like, are you taking the piss out of Al Capone? Because probably don't do that on the front page of the newspaper. But I always remember on the Isle of Wight, it was the County Press, I think it comes out on a Thursday, and it was one Thursday that was April Fool's, and they ran with a April Fool's like front page. And like, the thing about the Isle of Wight, I love it. Not necessarily everyone has a sense of humour there. And like, and what it was is that we've got one stretch of dual carriageway on the Isle of Wight. And the reason it's there apparently is so you can take your driving test on the Isle of Wight because you have to go on a dual carriageway. It's half a mile long. And they ran this thing about the fact that they were going to put a service station on it. And like on this half mile of dual carriageway. And people went fucking mental. It was hilarious. It was so funny.
They didn't want a service station. Like the angry people.
Well, yeah, it was just because obviously it's so stupid that it's like literally half a mile.
Oh, people took it so much to heart.
They but took you it just, so seriously.
Like, I get like, oh, how ridiculous. But also you could be like, I can get Ginsters for 24 hours a day. Like the upsides outweigh the lunacy.
That's such a dry April Fool's. People want services on a dual carriageway.
Gotcha.
Sounds like something Sue would come up with.
Yes, Sue totally worked for that newspaper now.
I think the editor was called.
I've got an excerpt of the article and I have to read it because the last line is like, whoa. We went there. Adopting the slogan, dry up, Chicago, Al Cornpone Capone. Is that his middle name? Cornpone Capone?
I want to say no, but I'm not an authority.
Where does this April Fool end? It's in parentheses,
Al Cornpone. I can't even say it. Cornpone. Prominent proprietor of a leading ice cream emporium here, entered the Windy City's fight for mayor here today with rare good spirits. Given to ironic speech, the new candidate is said to be planning to take his opponents for a ride when the campaign opens. You only have to consider my record, he told his followers in a stadium rally, to judge my fitness for the chair. The mayor's chair.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's so ludicrous. But then actually, it's not that ludicrous because everybody was corrupt. The mayor was probably corrupt anyway. So it's actually like, we're not surprised by anything Boris Johnson does anymore. Like, nonsense.
Yeah, it's like that practical joke about Lawrence Fox running for like mayor of London. Like, that's hilarious, right?
It's not a practical joke.
It's happening, people.
No.
I can't keep track.
So I wanted to end on a good prank. Like, what's the prank that makes me go, okay, some pranks are worth doing if you put enough thought in. So we're going to end with one that you might know, actually. It's Abbie Hoffman. Do we all know Abbie Hoffman? He's one of the Chicago Seven from the movie.
Yes.
So he was a huge political activist, but he was known for his pranks as well. And in fact, he kind of coined a categorization of pranks and how they fell. And he said there are three different types of pranks. And the first is like the most puerile. It's the Sue prank. And then there's something in the middle. And then there's like the worthy prank. It's like, do you actually have something to say? Again, it's like punching up. This should be about the government. It should be about what's wrong with everything. So one of his most notorious pranks took place at the New York Stock Exchange in 1967. Does anyone know this prank? Cool.
Was it in the movie?
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know. It might be. But my question is, what kind of prank could you pull in the New York Stock Exchange? And I'll give you a hint. Bear in mind, it's 1967, so it's not high tech. It's not like he got into the mainframe and like messed with the numbers, but like it's very on the ground. They got in the building. Well, what do you think they did?
You're not allowed to do insider trading or is it anything to do with that?
That's a very good guess.
Did he look like somebody was doing some kind of insider trading and then they were
like setting people up there?
Yeah, because they're like might as well be with how corrupt everything is.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, my stock exchange knowledge is very limited. So what I'm about to say could make absolutely no sense whatsoever. Did he like set up some sort of like fake company or sell some fake shares?
That's good. No, that's a really good guess.
Buy some fake really shares.
Also, just to let you know, my stock exchange information comes from that Eddie Murphy film where they swap places.
Trading places. Yeah. Well, why would you know anything about it otherwise? That's exactly where we all learn about
all
it.
I know is that I remember we did, sometimes we dress up for our quiz that we do every week since lockdown, because we're still doing a quiz, me and my friends, and sometimes there'll be a theme. And one that was the stock exchange, and literally everyone just wore braces. That's all anyone knew about the stock exchange was braces.
Brilliant. Oh, that's awesome.
But I think, like, it's Abby Hoffman, is it?
Yeah.
Is that what he's called? I feel like, have you seen it? I think it was Sacha Baron Cohen played him in the movie. I think if it's that character, and I think it is.
And you've seen the movie, Hannah.
Yeah, but this, I don't think this was in it, but him being a bit of a practical joker and stuff like that. And he's quite noisy with his practical jokes. Like, he will do things, physical things. So I don't think it's anything in terms of him, like, being insidious and sort of planning. And it feels like he would go in and he would shout something, or he'd draw dicks on the pages, or he'd shout, sell, sell, sell. Or, you know, he'd disrupt it in that kind of a way, maybe.
Yeah, it's absolute disruption is the perfect way to describe it.
Set off a load of pigeons in there or something. Yes.
A bear,
yes, bear's back. He's had his pigeons? Hot tub, now he's ready to call
He's
some...
going to shake.
He's seen Taylor having a fag, and now he's ready to call some, mix some shit up in the stock exchange.
Shares. So, I mean, and the whole backstory is really interesting too, because his sidekick, who is one of the Chicago Seven as well, came along with him and a couple more friends, and they had to do it at lunchtime because his friend was on trial for another crime, so they had to go on the lunch break from the court. God.
Brilliant.
He's like, I've got an hour. Let's be activists. Let's do what we do.
Oh my God. Also, like, I like the fact, like, activists that can also do things in their lunch hour. Because I would love to be an activist, but I'd definitely be like, guys, we are having lunch. We are taking lunch.
Yeah.
Because
that's what you call efficient activism.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't want to get hyperglycemic last time.
If we have to queue for 20 minutes of prep, we haven't got time for this prank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to Greg's. It's going to be quicker. Get your sausage roll into the stock exchange.
Yeah, eat it while we're walking.
Yeah.
So they did let tourists in because there's a visitor's sort of like viewing gallery that you can look down on the floor. And at that time, there was not much security, but they did have to get past this guy at the door, and they were dressed the part. They probably had, you know, braces on and...
they'd finished their pasties.
Yeah.
By the way, that is suspenders for any North American listeners when we say braces. Oh, we don't mean on your teeth.
Yes, and but also for the British listeners, we also don't mean like sexy suspenders.
Yeah.
Because that's what we will.
Oh, yeah,
all of these guys in the stock exchange, you only ever see them from like the tie end.
We mean the keepy uppy things for trousers.
Yeah, not the keepy uppy things for sexy and things.
I can't think of what in America we would call the sexy keepy uppy things.
Pantyhose, is it? Is
that no, that's tights.
That's tights.
God, I've lost my identity.
She's drinking out of a Sports Direct mug and she doesn't know what the sexy keepy uppy
It has nothing to do with the fact that I no longer wear them for my husband. It's just a cultural thing.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing.
I don't know. Oh, God. So they almost don't let him in because Abby looks like a hippie. Like, there's no way around it. Like, he had big, bushy hair. Yeah. And so they're like, what are you guys doing here? You can't come in. And he, quick as a flash, just goes, you're not letting me in because I'm Jewish. And they're like, come right in, sir.
Wow.
So they let them in. And I think there were like four or five of them. And they go up in the booth. And what they've got are hundreds of dollar bills. And they just chuck them down on the floor. And they had alerted the press to this. So they were press that were sort of dotted around and nobody knew. So
Make
it got
it
a ton of coverage. Make it rain. What do you think these brokers and traders do? They're in the middle of their job. How do you think they respond?
I mean, they've got to grab them, right? Or are they just very sensible and ignore them?
Are they real dollar bills?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'd be like in the fucking Crystal Maze.
Yeah.
They went crystal maze. There are accounts of this that say that some of the bills were fake. But when they're interviewed, they insist, they're like, no, we had the money, because the whole point was, this is the center of capitalism and greed. Are they going to care that there's just dollar bills falling? Will they stop what they're doing to grab at it? And they did. Like, it was just a shit show of these guys in suits. Like, move, it's mine, it's mine. So yeah, and this was right at the start of the Vietnam War. And so it became a huge statement for, you know, capitalism, greed, and an illegal war. So
that would never happen in this country, because like our lowest, like, folding money is like a fiver, and it's like nobody can afford to do that. Because like when you said $100 bills, I was like, was it $100 bills? I thought, of course they'll go for that. Yeah. And then when you said it was dollar bills, I was like, yeah, of course they'll go for that. Yeah. It's fucking dollars, isn't it? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and
brilliant.
This kind of showered them in pound coins, which I think probably have less of a positive effect.
I was going to say, then you'd be done for murder. Like, those would kill you from that height.
Like hailing.
Here's to the good pranks.
Yeah.
Not the bad ones. Drunk women solving crime. I just want to do our Patreon shout out for the week. So we are on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. And you can check us out if you can support us. That's great. And we try to give you some fun stuff in return. I've been doing the names every week with a different theme. So I've done like different voices and songs and stuff. And I don't want to be a killjoy, but I am so tired and I have so much shit going on in my life that I'm just going to read them like straight. And I hope that's okay. Are you fucking kidding me? I literally wrote a haiku for every person on here.
You wrote a haiku?
I did. I cut it off at 6 people, and then we'll do the rest with a different theme, because I'm like, wow, writing haikus, it takes a little moment.
Mate, you totally got me. I've got to say, that's like the first practical joke that's got me for a long time. That's amazing.
Were you like, Jesus Christ, Taylor?
Yeah, I was just like, rein it in, Taylor.
I was there. I was feeling empathetic. I was feeling worried for you.
Oh, I wasn't. I was just like, we're going to lose fucking listeners and Patreons. Like,
of course. It's almost like, how can I top this? This is not topping anything, but I'm just like, I want to find every obscure way to shout out our fantastic fans.
I love that you've done a haiku. Everything you do is amazing, by the way.
Awesome. I haven't written a haiku since school, because why would you do it for fun?
Could you remind me what a haiku is?
Well, I was going to say, so there's different... there's different versions of it. And I've done the way I learned was...
Sorry,
it's five
haikus in Wayne's World, I just realised.
So we got the Simpsons in Wayne's World.
it's a three-line poem.
Shaun of the Dead.
There's a number of words in each line.
Okay.
So it's
okay,
like,
thank
what
you.
Are the numbers again? Is it like 7?
So it's 5, 5, 5, 7, 5. There are different versions, but I did the 5, 7, 5. So 5 syllables, 7 syllables, 5.
Oh my gosh.
And you're not allowed to rhyme, which is painful for me because I like to rhyme. So here we go.
I'm glad you told me that, because I'd be like, well, that was a shit poem.
I am going to say haiku in between each one just to punctuate and just for a bit of, you know.
Give it gravitas.
Haiku. Mysterious world. Few can solve its twisted turns. Stephanie Earle knows. Haiku. Rays of sunshine glow. Some people make you happy. Katie Scott is one. Haiku.
I feel like we should be singing it with you, like the Lord's Prayer. Or something,
you know? Like, yeah, next one.
Feel free.
Yeah, yeah.
Dudes who support us are the right kind of menfolk. Thank you, Tom Phillips. Haiku.
Haiku to you.
I feel like I'm joining a cult, yeah.
And also with you.
Yeah, that's it, Katie, that's it, yeah.
Crisp autumn leaves dance. A nod to Amy Russell? No, that is a different word. Haiku.
Haiku.
And also haiku with you.
That's a really good one as well, the Russell. Yeah.
I got better as I went, I gotta say. Maybe I'll do them next time too. Out of the darkness, Simon Coates brings us some light. No, it's not Jesus.
Haiku.
haiku. And my final one. I am proud of myself. Not to make it about me. I can say Ashlyn. Thank you, patrons.
Wow, Taylor, that was brilliant.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
I feel moved.
Yeah, haiku. Me too. You made art.
Haiku.
Well, finally, it is time for our listener crime. And guess what? It involves food.
Yeah!
This comes from Rosie, who recently sent this in. And I was like, oh, Rosie, this is perfect because we've got somebody from Bake Off coming. So we'll talk about food. So I became the victim of a crime involving food, which to me is the worst kind of crime. Agreed. I'm a university student who moved into halls in September. I was away one weekend visiting my boyfriend, and I came home to find that all the food I'd left in the fridge had been frozen and then put back on my shelf of the fridge. This includes carrots, hummus, chocolate, all the essentials. At first, I thought that it was just just the fridge being faulty because, you know, university halls are always a bit dodgy. But I checked everyone else's stuff on the other shelves and nothing else was frozen. Everyone has denied it, but I'm sure someone must have done it. I'm 24, which is 6 years older than everyone else in my flat, and I live with 5 other people, 1 girl and 4 boys. Those are our suspects. And she notes, I'm the only one in my flat at the moment due to COVID restrictions, and nothing has frozen since I've been back on my own. Please help me solve this crime.
Okay. I don't want to stereotype, but I'm gonna. It was definitely one of the boys.
Yeah.
They have less respect in general for other property. When I was at university, they were always the ones that took my butter out of the fridge and just left it outside the fridge so that they could fit their stuff in the fridge that they bought. There wasn't enough space in the fridge. And it was specifically these 2 football lads that always did it. And that's why I started writing Elvis on my butter, because they didn't take my butter out, because they only took it out if it had my real name on it, because they were like, yeah, that bitch doesn't need butter in the fridge. What's she going to do? She's too repressed to do anything.
Right.
But to be fair, though, for 2 football lads, you should have maybe put Ronaldo on it or something. Like Melvin.
God, yeah. I mean, honestly.
Lineker.
I don't know why we all didn't just, well, I do know why we all didn't just share butter. They weren't the sharing types of people. But,
so this, yeah. Sorry, Kate.
No, that is the end of my angry,
do you know what? Butter.
Monologue.
Butter is a much more personal thing to share than people talk about. Like they talk about it like it should be the shared thing. People don't respect butter. Look, because I'm married to, I love him. He's wonderful. He is a beast. He will put
crumbs in your butter.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to the crumbs, but there are so many other problems.
What else does he put in your butter?
It depends if I'm wearing sexy holdy uppy things. He keeps the foil wrapper on and puts it in the dish. Like, he won't take it out to put it in the dish, which is a huge pet peeve. So we end up with just like folded foil, and then the foil will rip and you'll get foil in the butter. There's crumbs in the butter. There's no rhyme or reason. Like, it's just like gouges. And I'm like, butter is a holy place for me. Like, butter is life. It is the best thing ever invented. And I want a beautiful, respected block of butter. I'm still talking about this.
You know what? You need separate butters, even though you're
we
not
We need
students.
Separate butter. We have separate duvets. Because we learned that from Scandinavia. Why don't we have separate butter?
Separate butter. It's okay if it's going to keep your relationship healthy. It's okay to have separate butter.
Do you know what I do? I'm just sort of like engaged to a guy a lot older. Well, quite a lot older than me. So we have separate butters because he has to have low cholesterol one. And I'm just like a lot younger, so I can just have some fucking great butter.
Screw you. Yeah.
That's the biggest difference that, like, in terms of us being sort of like from slightly different generations, is like we've just got slightly different butters. Otherwise, it's all normal.
I love that.
Amazing. So, Katie, you think it was one of the boys because from your experience, you've profiled them, they're less respectful. But how do you explain why is it frozen?
Look, I can't explain everything. What am I, the psychic that gets brought into the police TV show that can just go,
good
I've
point.
Got this feeling. I think there was a man in a hat.
Good point. You found us the suspect. We can figure the rest out.
I've genderly profiled them. Oh, the rest is up to the real cops. No, but genuinely, we need to bring up boys to they're allowed to have their feelings, but also they need to respect property.
Nonsense.
But anyway, I don't... The freezer...
Taylor, do another haiku, quick.
The freezer thing is weird because it was like they didn't want to just leave it on the side for it to go off and they'd be accused of letting hummus go bad and possibly have to foot for more... the bill for more hummus.
Uh-huh.
So it feels like they were like, oh shit, there isn't that much in the freezer. Let's do that and then put it back. It feels like a stopgap, thoughtless, quick fix situation. So I feel like that is probably what happened.
So I went to a darker place and my experience of men being shits when I was at university, of like them accusing her of being frigid or something.
Oh,
which is really unnecessarily dark. Like maybe one of them hit on her and she said no and they went, oh, well, I'm going to be frigid.
I'm going to turn your hummus into a metaphor.
I'm going to put your carrots into a freezer and then I'm going to put them back because you're an ice queen.
Oh,
yeah. Which is completely ridiculous. That's where my brain went.
No, I love that your brain went there. Like, honestly, I feel like that makes a good detective. It's like, let me draw from my own dark past.
So if you want to be a good detective, drink a bottle of Aldi Rosé Prosecco. And that's where your brain will take you.
That is how to join our force.
That's it. Cheers to that.
I don't think we should rule out that there was like malevolence here. She was visiting a boyfriend, so there could have been jealousy. I'm going to freeze your carrots.
But it's like weird, boiling it?
A
bunny,
because
you froze
mine.
Because you froze my carrots.
I always find like, as I get older, I like to think that maybe I sort of, you know, I learn things about life, I learn things about philosophy, but actually what I learn is more things that you can freeze. Like, there's so much stuff I like didn't realise. Like, apparently you can freeze butter and you just get another butter out of the freezer.
And
like,
milk, you can freeze milk.
We started doing that at the first lockdown.
What?
That was our biggest... Yeah, you can freeze milk and it's absolutely fine.
Can you freeze toilet paper?
If you're having sort of like some spicy food the night before, possibly.
Yeah, nice and soothing. Oh, that sounds nice.
Sorry, I had lockdown. Keeping things, toilet paper. Frozen butter works great in a rough puff pastry, guys. Just saying.
Woohoo! Yeah, it does.
Yes, this is where we get the tips.
Do you know what? My 5-year-old won't believe me that there's a word batter. She thinks I'm mispronouncing butter. So I have full-on arguments with this tiny human saying it's batter. This cake mixture, it's called batter. No, mummy, don't be stupid. It's butter. And I'm like, she full-on will not believe me that that's a word.
Oh, that's so funny.
She's correcting you in anger.
Mummy, it's not a word.
I mean, has she seen you literally on like on the cooking program yet? Like, did she get to know her?
Yeah, like,
do you know who I am? Yeah, you're my mother.
She's 5. She doesn't give a shit. She's like, no, mummy, I'm right. You're wrong.
Has she watched it?
Yeah. Yeah, she watched it, but she was like 2.5 when it was airing, so she was only ickle. She doesn't care. She is not interested at all.
You need to put it on again now that she's 5.
Oh, I love that that's why it's like repeated on like, you know, it's repeated on like, I can't remember which channel.
Yeah.
It's just like for the baker's kids to go like, oh yeah, I get it.
See, batter is a word.
And she'll have no memory. She'll be like, what? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, like Taylor, I'm an absolute bake-off, like, nut. Absolutely love it. But I love, like, and actually, I almost can't handle junior bake-off.
Don't. I love it so much.
So real.
I love it so
much. I always remember there was this one kid and he did something wrong and he just went, oh, schoolboy error. And I was like, to you, that's an error. That's just an error.
You are a schoolboy.
Oh, they're so sweet.
They're amazing. They're so good.
They're so good.
Way
I know.
Better than we were. I was like, they could like compete on the actual bake-off. Like, I'm not funny, they put me to shame. They're incredible bakers. Incredible
it's
bakers.
It's crazy.
Right, you didn't have to agree with me on that one, Taylor. That's...
No, I know. They're so much better than you.
No, they are incredible. They put me to shame, seriously. I don't always have this to hand, but this is to hand so I can show you. I've got my little
because yes, and I should have put this in your intro. You won the Christmas Bake Off special.
I did a Zoom earlier on with a group of uni students in Texas talking about limb difference awareness, and they're like, "Can we see your plate?"
Amazing.
Like, obviously, we talked about limb difference awareness loads, and they were like, "Can we see your plate?" I was like, yeah, "Sure, get out.
Get the plate.
Don't give a shit about your hand.
It's really big in America too, isn't it?
It's huge.
It always goes viral over there."
But Bryony, can you remember? It has a. It's called something slightly different.
The Great British Baking Show.
Great British Baking Show.
Apparently, it's because I was like, would Americans not understand what a Bake Off is? Like, surely that's where the phrase came from.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's because of Pillsbury. Does that make sense to you, Taylor?
Oh my God! Oh my gosh! I can't believe it's like a patent issue.
Yeah,
then.
It's
not
a trade. They've trademarked.
Oh my God!
That's not a word. They've trademarked. Bake Off, so they can't call it the Great British Bake Off in America.
Wow. I had no idea that was why, and that pisses me off.
I literally found out today and it blew my mind. I was like, well, that makes much more sense.
Have you ever had Pillsbury stuff?
I don't even know what it is.
Horrible. It all comes in a tin. It's so weird. It's scored on the side and you have to press a spoon into it and then it explodes open.
Yeah, I've seen this on programs.
It's just full of artificial ingredients. It's just the worst.
So I always
thought it wasn't called, but it's really bad.
I thought maybe a bake-off was another word for a fart in America or something. I'm about to bake it off. And that's why I thought that they changed it because they were we can't call it. Yeah, exactly. I thought it was literally because it would be the great big farting show, but it's ancient issue.
I never got why they didn't call it that. Because when we were recording the Christmas one, when they announced who the winner was, on the main series, they just do the voiceover. But on the Christmas one, Sandy had to say, and the winner of the Great Christmas Bake Off is, and then she stopped and went... And the winner of the Great Christmas Baking Show is...
Wow.
And it was
tell us who won!
Wow.
And you had to wait an extra 10 seconds.
Yeah.
it was a really long
10 seconds.
Wow.
It's mad. It's really funny. But
do you know what? This is actually the perfect way to... Let's keep the focus on you because I'm loving hearing...
Oh, no, please
hearing...
don't. No, don't. Let's talk more about...
We're gonna do it just because I think we solved this. Yeah, it was a boy who was jealous. Who's the most jealous boy? At least we didn't blame a mother. Like, for the first time, we didn't blame a mother.
Yeah, we really
because there were no mothers.
Morality stakes. Let's hear about Bryony.
Well, yeah, because Bryony, we have just enough time to ask, what have you got coming up? What's going on? What's new?
Well, I am currently presenting on Food Unwrapped on Channel 4, which is really just so much fun. And it's such a brilliant program to be on. It's been on for yonks, but it's just still so fresh and fun. I have to go around dispelling food myths and finding out where our food comes from and,
what's a food myth that you've dispelled?
So one of the questions I've had to answer is, how do you mushy peas? So how do you, here we go, turning the tables here, how do you think one mushes mushy peas?
I think you boil them and then you get a potato masher and then you mash them.
The skins must be sieved. They must sieve it through so there's no fiber.
I think it's like little French children and they've got their feet.
Yes, Hannah, well done. Good, you've got it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's the cheapest way to do it.
It is. They're very cheap. No, it's you explode the shells of the peas with bicarbonate of soda.
What?
Shut up.
Yeah. And that's how you make mushy peas. There's no actual mushing involved.
That's mad.
So you boil them with bicarbonate of soda, explodes it. And then at the end, you get this mushy pea mixture.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
That's amazing. A real surprise.
It's cool, isn't it? Because I assumed it was peas, garden peas, but actually it's like marrow fat peas, which are really different. And I'm random fountain of knowledge of random food facts now.
Cool.
So,
that's amazing.
I've done some really interesting stories. Like they put me on a lot of the boozy stories. I can't really think why. So I've been to Ireland to look at whiskey. I've looked at different sort of shades of beers and it's really fun and it's very lighthearted, but you do find out a lot of stuff. So that's really cool. And I've got my own podcast coming out.
Woohoo!
Am I allowed to mention another podcast on this podcast?
Of course.
Are you joking? Of course.
So it's about how we raise our children as allies.
Ooh.
So whether it's in terms of disability, LGBTQ+, anti-racism, gender, in the environment, you know, all those kind of 2021 topics that are so important. The really kind of a lot of awkward conversations maybe that people don't know how to have or don't know that they want to have. But for me, the last, you know, 12 months, I've had some conversations with Nora, who's five, that I would never have had before.
Right.
And I still feel quite clueless in terms of, you know, I want to raise her to be this awesome human being who's accepting and who stands up for people and who is respectful of everyone. But I don't always know how to do that. So I want to educate myself in order to educate her. And I feel like I've done that a lot over the last 12 months, but I want to talk to some people and find out their views on it.
Cool.
So the first episode is going to be about disability, and I'm talking to Maysoon Zaid, who's this amazing comedian from New York, and Adam Pearson. And yeah, we're going to talk about, you know, how do you explain disability to a five-year-old?
Yeah.
How do able-bodied people, you know, how do they become allies? How do they teach their kids to be allies? What's the best way of going about that? So I'm really excited about
it.
Oh, awesome.
Sounds amazing.
It sounds quite serious, but it will be with a lot of sense of humour and probably silliness.
I imagine like the first episode's going to be like, there's going to be a bit about batter as well. Isn't
yeah, it? Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, even if it sounds serious, it sounds so needed. Like,
I'm definitely
going to listen to that.
Well, it feels like something that I want and I need.
Yes.
So it's slightly selfish in that I'm really feel very privileged that I can be in a position where I can maybe ask those questions and get some answers. And I think because I am disabled, it puts me in a slightly marginalized position.
Right. Mm.
In that I can maybe ask some questions that other people don't necessarily feel that they could.
Yeah.
So, sounds brilliant. That sounds
amazing. That makes sense.
And also kids would always ask questions that no adult would.
Do you know when it's going to drop?
It's going to be the summer, we think.
Okay.
Okay. Summer.
Oh my gosh. Autumn. I genuinely cannot wait to listen.
Thank
that
you
is
so much.
Such
I'm really
a necessary topic.
It.
Wow.
I'm really excited.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Bryony, this has been an absolute pleasure. All that's left to say is thank you so much. This has been Bryony Williams.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.